The FCC is taken to court over their recent SpaceX Starlink decision and how the satellites will harm the environment through light pollution. Also, Chairwoman Rosenworcel wants the FCC to look into data caps on broadband services. All that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, June 15, 2023. The FCC has filed a brief before the D.C. Circuit Court in the case of International Dark Sky Association versus FCC. Dark Sky is appealing an FCC decision which permitted SpaceX the authority to construct, deploy, and operate up to 7,500 satellites operating at altitudes of 525, 530, and 535 kilometers as part of a constellation that will support the second generation of SpaceX Starlink satellites. SpaceX originally proposed to launch 30,000 satellites, but the FCC only granted 7,500 out of an abundance of caution in order to reduce the severity of the concerns raised in the record regarding the impacts of a much larger constellation. The FCC wants to continue to monitor these issues and examine the impact before authorizing any more Gen 2 Starlink satellites. According to their website, the International Dark Sky Association is the recognized authority on light pollution and is the leading organization combating light pollution worldwide through the promotion of responsible outdoor lighting that is beautiful, healthy, and functional. During the proceeding at the FCC, Dark Sky argued that the SpaceX application should be subject to an environmental assessment under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. Dark Sky claims that the constellation could result in light pollution, which could have significant impact and adverse aesthetic, scientific, social and cultural, and health effects on the human environment on Earth. In their brief, Dark Sky claims that the commission insufficiently addressed the significant effects that the proposed SpaceX satellites would have on astronomy. According to the American Astronomical Society, there has been an increase in the number of astronomical images affected by existing Starlink satellites. They also claim that there would be environmental effects when these satellites reach the end of their life and burn up in the atmosphere through the creation of particles and chemicals such as alumina. They claim that the FCC's action violates the Administrative Procedures Act in employing analysis and reaching conclusions not in accordance with the law by quickly dismissing the need for an environmental impact statement. In their responsive brief, the FCC states that satellite authorizations fall into a categorical exclusion from further environmental review. The FCC stated that they reasonably concluded that the record did not show significant effects requiring review in an environmental assessment, particularly in light of the conditions that it placed on SpaceX operations and the commitments that the company had made. To address the concerns from the astronomy community, the FCC concluded that it was in the public interest to continue to monitor SpaceX's ongoing efforts to diminish the average brightness of its satellites to ensure that SpaceX does not unduly burden astronomy and other scientific endeavors. The FCC continues that the record shows that the Gen 2 satellites would incorporate three advanced brightness mitigation techniques, including dielectric mirror film, solar array mitigation, and darkening paint, with the goal of making the Gen 2 satellites invisible to the naked eye. On the concerns over reentry, the commission originally concluded that there would not be a significant environmental impact associated with a constellation of 7,500 Gen 2 Starlink satellites demising upon reentry. The commission found that the most relevant evidence on the record were two studies initiated by the European Space Agency that found that the effects on the atmosphere from re-entering satellites to be negligible compared to other anthropogenic activities such as the aviation and road transportation sectors. In addition to the latest case by Dark Sky, the FCC is also fighting with Dish Network in the courts over the potential interference the Starlink constellation would cause to Dish Network's fleet of geostationary orbit satellites. Dark Sky cites a report from Celestrak.com that states that there are currently 7,500 total active satellites orbiting the Earth. Hey, it's Amici. If you are listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to this channel, and hit the notification dinger to be reminded of future content. Thank you again for your support. The FCC has deactivated the disaster information reporting system for Guam. Communication providers no longer have to provide any additional reporting into DIRS in connection with the aftermath of Super Typhoon Mawar. The FCC will continue to monitor the status of communication services and will work with providers and government partners as needed to support remaining restoration efforts. In today's final report, the FCC notes that 17% of cell sites remain out of service on the island and 1,984 cable and wireline customers remain out of service. For broadcasters who are reporting to DIRS, the following stations are still reported to be out of service: KGTF-TV, KSTO-FM, KISH-FM, Translator 2K290-CR, and KTWG-AM. There are still special temporary authorities issued to Transworld Radio Pacific due to the severe damage encountered at shortwave station KTWR. FM station KSDA is also operating under an STA. The U.S. Navy has been granted access to FM frequencies for ship and airborne transmissions on FM broadcast frequencies to DOD personnel on the island. Osius Networks has been granted an experimental STA to support the National Guard and Air Force response to Typhoon Mawar as part of their Northern Edge Vigilant Guard exercises, where disaster response and infrastructure restoral cases are tested. An STA was also granted to T-Mobile, and an emergency waiver of the rules has been granted to operators of the Citizens Broadband Radio Service. The disaster information reporting system was first activated on May 23 in wake of the Category 4 Super Typhoon Mawar, the strongest storm to reach Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands since 2002. REC reminds all broadcasters and other infrastructure providers to participate in DIRS. Notifications of DIRS activations will be posted on the FCC.today website and will remain there until deactivated. More information at recnet.com/disaster. In a press release, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel announced that she'll be asking her fellow commissioners to support a formal notice of inquiry to learn more about how broadband providers use data caps on consumer plans. Data caps, or usage limits, are a common practice where an internet service provider restricts how much bandwidth a consumer uses. Many ISPs have temporarily or permanently refrained from enforcing or imposing data caps in response to the pandemic. The agency would like to better understand the current state of data caps, their impacts on consumers, and whether the commission should consider taking action to ensure that data caps do not cause harm to competition or consumers' ability to access broadband internet services. In addition to the NOI, the FCC has opened a new portal for consumers to share how data caps have affected them. Consumers can share their stories at fcc.gov/datacapstories. Just a reminder, in observance of the Juneteenth Independence Day holiday, the FCC and REC networks will be closed on Monday, June 19. On Monday, we will feature an FCC Extra, the opening remarks from all four commissioners at today's meeting of the FCC's Communications Equity and Diversity Council. Our next regular podcast is planned for Tuesday, June 20, unless major news breaks before then. FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks. Always on at recnet.com. The podcast is available through Podbean, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at FCC.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, call 202-621-2355. I'm Michelle Bradley, KU3N, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Thanks for listening. We'll have an extra on Monday, podcast back on Tuesday. REC.